Hi everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And it's Christmas time.
Jingle bell. Oh, stop that.
And to watch Christmas movie, we decided to sit down and watch Gremlins.
We did.
It's from 1984. It was rated PG. It's an hour and 46 minutes long, directed by Joe Dante.
Yes.
Got an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
It got a 70 on Metascore
Oh.
and a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh. That's a little lowish. You suppose it's because it's kids and parents wouldn't rate this movie very
Maybe.
well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
Because this is definitely for the
Oh,
kids.
absolutely. Absolutely.
Those rotten little gremlins.
Right. Absolutely.
Just being bad.
Yes.
Just being bad to be bad.
And aren't we all?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yes, they were.
I have a budget of about $11 million.
Yes, I read that also.
And a worldwide gross of 153.9 million.
I read somewhere that it was 200 million.
Sure.
Either way, wow.
Yeah. For a movie that Joe Dante is very confused on why people love it,
Right.
it made a ton of, and this is back when, movies cost $1.50 to go
Right,
see.
right. The whole family could go to the drive-in and see this movie for $5.
Yeah.
And you could take a whole carload of people in.
So,
Right, right.
$200 million. That's
Right.
a buttload of people seeing it.
A whole lot of people. But it did come out critically acclaimed. I mean, people did like it, but then they started to think about it and thought, "Oh, wait a minute. No."
Yeah.
Yeah.
The basic plot is that a young man inadvertently breaks all the important rules concerning his new pet and unleashes a horde of malevolent, mischievous monsters on a small town.
And he did.
Yeah.
He broke all the rules because his father had forgotten to tell him the rules.
Well, he told him the rules after he gave it to him,
Right.
but
And after stuff started to happen, always blame it on your parents. It's always their
rules,
fart.
schmools.
Right. I think I just said fart. It's always their fault.
Oh, whatever. It's their farts too.
Yeah.
I have a cast of Zach Galligan, which this was his debut movie.
Yes, I read that.
And I can't say I ever saw him in anything else.
No, I thought he was someone else or a couple of different people. And then I looked at him and then I looked at the name and I read about him and I thought, this isn't anybody I know about.
Well, he was in the sequel. I mean, he played the same character in
But
the sequel.
I didn't see the sequel either, so
Yeah. Phoebe Cates,
I didn't know who she was.
Hoyt Axton, that's the father.
Yep.
John Louis, Key Luke, Don Steele, Corey Feldman, and John Reinhold are the people that you'll recognize.
Right.
And I did recognize Jonathan Banks as Deputy Brent. And that is Mike from Breaking Bad. If
Okay.
anybody, I'm sure people know who Mike
Oh,
is.
Breaking Bad is huge as well. Almost everyone I know watched Breaking Bad.
We just rewatched Breaking
Oh,
Bad
wow. Okay.
for like the 10th time.
Okay. I've never seen that one either.
I got trivia. I got a little bit of trivia.
Okay. Well, I have stuff about the director, and this is stuff that I don't remember talking about from the last time we talked about Joe Dante. So, I got little, I feel like I have different kind of information. So, That, okay. He often mixes 50 styles B-movie type filming with 60s radicalism and cartoon comedy, which not any one of those things goes together.
No, but I think his first big movie was Piranha.
Yes, that is correct. I do.
So, and that's, you know, it's a ridiculous movie about killer fish.
Right. Right. Okay. He was born in Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay.
His father was a pro golfer. I do believe I remember that from the last time we talked about him. And he wanted to be a cartoonist. But when he went to the College of, the Philadelphia College of Art, he discovered filmmaking. And he credits Roger Corman with his style. He met him, and it was Roger Corman who encouraged him to go into directing.
Oh, cool.
Yep. In his free time at college, he collected B-movie clips and 16-millimeter cartoons, 16-millimeter film clips and cartoons, and he built a movie out of that.
Oh, boy. Okay.
A 7-hour compilation.
Oof.
Of all of those things. I can't even imagine how hysterical that would be.
But 7 hours, though.
Well, what do you know?
I feel like you'd have to watch something 7 hours long, like Alex in Clockwork Orange with his eyes held open and just staring at it like, ah!
Okay, yep. All right. And as a kid, he was even into movies as a kid. There was a magazine came out called Famous Monsters of Filmland.
Okay, yeah.
And in his youth, he would watch movies and write out, reviews. He would write reviews and send them into the magazine.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. What an odd habit for a little kid.
Well, yes, but who knows? Who knows what's in the mind of children?
Yeah.
But in 1974, he wasn't a child. He's older than me, so he's...
Oh, okay.
Although he is dead, but...
That's not?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Didn't I read that he died just recently?
No.
Okay, never mind. He's not dead.
That's Richard Donner.
See, I told you I was doing... I was doing all kinds of crazy research, like I was telling Alexis earlier. This was not a good week for me to do research. And the last few weeks have not been good for me to do this, so... Sorry.
I think it's just like this time of year, like... Seasonal affective has like punched me in the face.
Yes.
Like I don't want to do anything.
No.
I get up, I go to work. I don't want to be at work. I don't want to work.
Yeah.
I get home, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to cook. I don't want to clean. I don't want to do nothing.
I get it. Some days I don't even get out of my pajamas. It's been awful.
And he is definitely still alive.
Okay. You looked for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because in every, like, horror documentary that comes out, like, he's one of the commentators. And he's always real happy to talk about, you know, his favorite movies.
Nice. Nice. So in 1974, he apprenticed with Roger Corman. And he was working in the trailer cutting department.
Oh, okay.
Of New World Pictures. Then in 75, just a year later, he moved up to the directing. So, you know, he was right there with, you know, seeing it on the set, doing it.
Okay.
In 1975, I said that. 2 years later, he directed Piranha.
Yeah.
And that was shot in Texas for $600,000, which... You know, when we say $600,000, we don't think it's that much. But in like 1978, that was a lot of money.
A ton of money.
That was, you know, $1 million.
Yeah.
Let's see. And it's around this time that Spielberg noticed him.
Spielberg was a big fan of The Howling. I read that in the trivia.
Yes.
That's his werewolf movie.
And that movie, again, the studio didn't want to release it. They thought it was too much. But it was at the same times that Jaws 2 was coming out. So, you know, Killer Fish was not new.
Right.
So I don't understand that. You know, I read some of that stuff, and what does the studio have to say about this? I mean, this is not, you know, people don't make movies for the studio.
Right.
But they do. They do. And in the 80s, he collabed with John Sayles.
Okay, John Sayles.
To rewrite The Howling.
Okay.
That's when that came about. And I thought that was an interesting thing, because that just gave him a step up. You know, he's improving his craft. And he was offered to direct Airplane, but turned it down.
Oh.
I have seen Airplane. That is probably close to the funniest movie I've ever seen. And ridiculous. But now that I think about it, that certainly was not his style.
That madcap.
Right. That was not what he appreciated.
Right.
You know, looking at the movies he has done and the success he has had doing his movies. So in the meantime, he did some episodes of the spoof Police Squad.
Oh, okay.
And this is where he got his first experiences with shooting in a studio.
Cool.
I thought that was interesting. I mean, you know, we think of a movie and all we think about is a movie at a studio. You know, although here in Toledo, they're trying to turn Toledo into a big movie town. Why? I don't know. Do we look like every city?
No, but I think in Hollywood, every city looks like Toledo, Ohio. Because there's a movie. What's it called? It's got Christopher Walken in it. It's like called like Kiss Toledo Goodbye or something. And it's like a mob movie, but the skyline is crazy.
I mean,
it 100% is not Toledo, Ohio. And it is, it's Kiss Toledo Goodbye. It has Christopher Walken and Michael Rapaport in it. And you could tell that none of these people, nobody involved with the production of this movie has ever set foot in Toledo, Ohio, because the restaurants didn't look right. The skyline was wrong.
Right. We don't have a skyline. We have three tall buildings. I mean, that be considered a skyline?
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, those, you know, the distinct way that the overview of downtown looks.
Right.
It, you know, none of, you know, look at the picture, the poster. It's not downtown Toledo.
Oh, no. That's Chicago or New York. Yeah, no.
Maybe even Milwaukee. Not
sure.
Even near here.
No, uh-uh. Because we only have three tall buildings. And they're not even on the same block. Oh, I thought that was funny. Some of that stuff is crazy. I mean, you know, Toledo, I see on the internet that they're often looking for extras to come down and, you know, shoot movies, but whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So then he moved on after The Howling. He moved on to The Gremlins.
Okay.
Howling, Gremlins. Yeah, I have it all written down somewhere. But in the meantime, he directed a few segments for the movie The Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
John Landis's Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And then he took over editing. This is something I had, and I know we've talked about this crash, but this is something I hadn't read before, that he took over editing George Miller's segments of the Twilight Zone movie after he left because of the plane crash or the helicopter crash.
Oh.
That the helicopter pilot died in.
That the actor and two children.
Yes.
Two child actors working illegally died in.
Yes. So, yeah, he had left in disgust, and Dante filled in after him.
Yeah.
And I don't remember reading that before.
No. And I did see that Jerry Goldsmith did the music for the Twilight Zone movie.
Mm-hmm.
He also did the music for Gremlins.
For this, yes. Yes. Yep, I did read that. And so after this, by the time this all was finished, the Gremlins had been to rewrite, you know, numerous times.
Right.
And was ready to go.
The story was by Chris Columbus of Home Alone fame.
Yep. Yep, that is correct. Oh, that's right. You didn't say that. I have it written down, but you didn't. Usually you say stuff like that at the beginning.
Yeah. I think I have it written down in my trivias.
But it's because we've, you know.
Yeah.
Our mind is not in the game.
Well.
Sorry. Sorry, folks.
I started out strong with my notes. My first two pages are great. But then the last page is just really hurried scribbles.
Yeah. And some of it I can't read. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. So, along came this movie. And I had somewhere where other movies came out at, what was the other movie that I saw that
came out around this movie?
The same weekend. I'll find it.
Ghostbusters.
That's right.
And Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was out around the same time.
Yep.
And in the trivia I read that this movie was slated for a Christmas release because it is a Christmas movie about Christmas time. But it was released in the summer to be Warner Brothers offering against Ghostbusters
right.
and Temple of Doom.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it kind of worked out because it ended up being the third highest grossing film of 1984.
Not third, I got fourth.
No, that's definitely a three.
Okay.
Do you want me to look it up?
No.
Third or fourth highest grossing film of 1984.
And it debuted number two at the box office right behind Ghostbusters.
Yeah, can you even imagine?
And it was only about $1 million behind Ghostbusters. So they were neck and neck.
Yeah. Well, both the same kind of movie.
Yeah.
Both that gritty, gooey mess that we want to see when we see movies.
Right. I mean, I guess.
It is. All right. Then I went back and I did a little more digging to see exactly what this guy does, what Joe Dante does. And his very first film was in 1961. It was a movie called X-15. And listen to these two big stars. There was a third one, but I didn't recognize the name. Charles Bronson.
Oh, okay.
And Mary Tyler Moore.
Charles Bronson and Mary Tyler Moore in the same movie?
Yes.
What?
And this was her first feature film role.
Whew.
Can you even imagine Mary Tyler Moore and Charles Bronson?
That's no.
What really, really, you
those
know.
Are opposite ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely. She was a young actress. She probably, you know, was trying out stuff. I get it.
But I mean, you know, Mary Tyler Moore is an actress that I didn't know had chops. You know, I
yes.
thought she was just bubblegum Mary Tyler Moore. You know, in Ordinary People, she plays a stone cold bitch.
Yes.
And
no, she's an actress.
Like, holy crap. Who knew?
Yes.
you know, and a stone cold bitch up against Charles Bronson, I can see that. But Bubblegum married Tyler Moore and Charles Bronson, I can't see that.
Yep. It was about the X-15 rockets, say, you know, 1961. That was, you know, space race stuff.
Yeah.
And that was a movie about that.
Huh.
Another movie he did in 1968 was called Salt and Pepper. And here's another one. Sammy Davis Jr. and Peter Lawford.
Part of the Rat Pack.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
He did The Omen in 1976.
Joe Dante didn't direct The Omen.
Oh, is this where I started getting mixed up stuff?
Yes. Richard Donner did The Omen.
I did The Gremlins and Goonies together.
And it's so funny that she said that. She's like, I think I mixed him up with Richard Donner. And I was just like, oh. And I said, well, it's really funny that you mentioned that, because the Blu-ray copy I have is a triple feature. It's The Goonies, and it's Gremlins 1 and 2.
They were both movies that started with G. I don't know. Okay. We'll move on from there.
Fun fact about The Omen, the little boy that played Damien was cast because he walked up to Richard Donner's, like, holding him, like, oh, you're a cute little kid. And the little kid just kicks him square in the balls. And Richard Donner's like, I like this kid.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so now I'm confused where I am. He was married to producer Lauren Shuler?
Hell, I don't know.
You know what?
Let's go back to Joe Dante's Wikipedia real quick.
Yes. Let me just stop talking. And, you know, oh my God. And I get cut to reading stuff and I thought, this sounds weird. And no wonder it sounds weird, because it wasn't right. Oh my goodness.
In 1979, Joe Dante directed some scenes of Rock and Roll High School when Alan Arkush fell ill due to exhaustion, but remains uncredited. Rock and Roll High School is the Ramones.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I think your X-16 or whatever is Richard Donner.
I think so. Scratch that part. And he's married to a woman named Elizabeth Stanley.
Okay.
So forget, I can probably rule out this whole page.
Okay, sure.
We'll go down here to Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Oh, no, here's some stuff I know. Released in June of 1984, which we had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was criticized because of the violence that was in this movie and also in the movie Indiana Jones.
Well, this movie, the puppet violence is wild.
Yep.
You know, it's you said carnage. And yes. You know, puppets are getting blended, microwave.
Yes!
It's crazy that they put something like that in a little kid movie.
Right.
But Temple of Doom is like, that's like that real, that body horror.
Right.
Because the guy rips that guy a beating heart out of a chest.
Right, right. He reached in and pulled that out. I remember that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then puts him in a fucking pit of magma or something.
Yep.
So,
and at that time, Steven Spielberg went to the Motion Picture Association of America and suggested that they change their rating system. And that is where we got PG-13.
Yeah. Well, this is funny because movies like 16 Candles were made completely under the radar. 16 Candles has a nude scene.
Okay.
Sam Baker says they fucking forgot my birthday. Like, that's a PG rated movie.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, in the 80s, the rating system was wild.
Yes. Well, wasn't that around the beginning of the rating system when they started doing that?
No, I think the rating system the first incarnation was in the 60s.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, there was the Hays Code in the 30s, but that was really to kind of not promote homosexuality and, you know, just general having fun, drinking, smoking.
Which is all included in this movie.
Oh, they also, the Hays Code also really didn't like interracial relationships.
Well, there's some suggestion that this movie is rather racist.
There was one black guy.
Well, no, in the just the fact that the gremlins were, you know, appeared to be black people. I didn't get that.
What? Is it because they were dark green?
I don't know. I don't know.
What?
I don't see stuff like that. I guess I'm one of those really odd old people that I don't get this, why everybody is so different. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, there was some suggestion that this is a rather racist movie and that there should be steps taken against it.
Oh. The one black character was a scientist, though.
Right. Well, he was a teacher first and then a scientist. But he got offed right up. Right.
Well,
it's the first victim.
That's an old trope in Hollywood. It's called the sacrificial Negro.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
No.
Okay, I don't think I've ever heard this.
And that's the joke, is that if there's a black guy in the movie, he's going to be the first to go. And black actors for a long time would get a script and just flip through like, okay, when does my character die? How many pages do I get into the movie before I'm dead?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Okay.
Oh, the racist tropes are wild. And there's a documentary called Horror Noir that talks about the stuff like that. The sacrificial Negro and the black girl best friend that is never in the foreground, she's always in the background worrying about a white person, and it's just like, well, you know, you're a whole person too, right? No, you're not. Let's talk about the white girl in the foreground. And it's a whole thing that it still is.
Oh, absolutely.
Happening in big Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's an interesting rabbit hole to go down.
Okay. And the word gremlins was coined in World War II. The guy that was driving the tractor talked about it.
Uh-huh.
WWII, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that was coined in 1920s. The RAF said any kind of problem that their planes encountered, they said there was a gremlin. And it really became, that idea really became popular around 1943, when former RAF pilot Roald Dahl wrote his book, The Gremlins.
Huh.
So, you know, what he said about the gremlins, that was all true.
I wrote down in Cantonese, Mogwai roughly translates to devil, demon, or gremlin.
Okay.
So it could be, you know, one of those three things.
Which it was.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
And in Mandarin, it means something slightly different. But in Cantonese, that's what Mogwai means. I didn't write down the Mandarin.
Okay. Interesting. They were originally going to use monkeys to play the gremlins.
Oh, I saw
that. Did you read about that?
I read about that.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine. But when they put the little gremlin head on the first monkey, and that poor little thing went berserk.
Well, first of all, could you even imagine? I'm trying to put a hat on my cats, and they're acting like I'm murdering them.
But on the other hand, look on the internet. There's thousands of pet pictures where they're fully dressed and the little kitty cat hats that they're putting on cats now. I mean, I think if you trained an animal from from day one, that would work. But to get a whole troop of monkeys to do that, I can't even imagine what they were thinking.
And, this was all, in the 80s, CGI was not even a thing.
Right.
So they had to do something.
Right. And monkeys and those kind of animals are kind of mean.
Yeah.
I remember my cousin's grandma had a monkey, and that monkey was damn mean. It would bite you if it could. It was mean.
Why am I just hearing about this?
You didn't know that Gaga had a monkey?
No.
Mark, Dan, and Nancy's grandma, Gaga, had a monkey that she had a little diaper and it wore clothes and she had a little harness for it. Yes.
No way.
Oh my God, yes. And if you tried to get near that monkey, it would literally attempt to bite you.
Oh my God.
I can't even imagine having a pet that would be mean. Oh, come here and talk to my rattlesnake. No!
I mean, I do have a little hickey on my hand from Jelly Bean. Jelly Bean gets in these fits where if you rub him good, he'll just lick anything that he can, and it'll be your arm, it'll be the couch arm, it'll be the floor, it'll be, he just gets into
it. Just feels so good.
And so he was licking my arm, and then he was nibbling my wrist. And
I literally gave you a hickey.
Like, what are you doing? And he moved up, close to my elbow, and I was just giving him scratchies, and he was just loving it. And I was just like, what the hell? I have a hickey on my arm. It's from my cats.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he was feeling good. It felt good.
Yeah. You get him going and he's wild.
Oh, he's such a good boy. So that's when the puppets came in.
Yeah. They're animatronic.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I guess, they would be puppets more than marionettes, wouldn't they? I don't know.
They were probably little robots.
Probably. 1984 robots. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I thought that was hilarious. Who thought that monkeys would be good for that? I don't.
They're the right size.
That would be about the extent of why they would be good. They were the right size. Oh, my goodness. And special effects in those days was not what we know as special effects today.
Right.
And it's just has come a long way. Now, today, there wouldn't have been even a puppet. They would have all just been CGI animations.
Oh, yeah. I read that all of the Gremlins were animatronic and costed between $30,000 and $40,000 puppet.
Wow.
And that every night, when filming was ending and people were leaving, security would check people's trunks to make sure that these little gremlins weren't walking away.
They had all their equipment for the next shoot.
Yeah.
Some of them were made from the balloons, the ones that were exploded.
Yeah.
They put the little skin on a balloon so that it would blow up and goo would come out.
Yeah.
But
wild.
That is crazy. And you had talked about Jerry Goldsmith.
Yes.
And the music.
Uh-huh.
And he did do the music. And there is a soundtrack from Geffen Records that it sounds more like one of those long playing songs they do.
Yeah.
It just had a few songs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you can still get that. I mean, they've still redone that a couple of times. So it's out there.
Cool.
And this was one of the first movies that was heavy on merchandising.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody wants a little toy like that.
Yep. We've talked a lot about merchandising in movies. And you as kids from the 80s, How many Happy Meals did we have that had the current thing in it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so. And this movie was heavy on product placement.
Yeah, you saw Burger King real prominent.
Yep.
Killian's beer in the window at the
bar. Mm-hmm. Montgomery Ward's. Back then, Montgomery Ward's was a very popular department store.
Yeah.
Just crazy. Lots of fast food. There was Hardee's had a big deal with them.
Really?
There was a Gremlins cereal.
Yeah, I remember that.
Topps had trading cards. Topps Bubblegum had trading cards.
No way.
Yep. Yep. And the dolls and stuffed animals, action figure things.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie relied heavily on a merchandising and a video game.
A video game?
Yeah.
Huh.
There was apparently a Gremlins video game.
No way.
Yep.
Funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to make money somehow. And maybe that's why there's different figures. Maybe the figure I saw included all this merchandising.
Oh. Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe.
Could be. So, okay. What have you found?
Going back to merchandising, do you remember the Furby in the 90s?
I have a Furby somewhere in my house.
Does it talk still?
It does. And it does not have batteries in it.
That's psychotic.
It is.
Gizmo was the inspiration for those little Furbies. And you can see with his little gizmo eyes.
Yes.
You can see exactly that's what a Furby looks like.
Yep. Yep.
The set for Kingston Falls is the same one used for Back to the Future, because both movies were filmed on the Universal Studios backlot.
Oh, cool.
Steven Spielberg executive produced the film. He had a pretty heavy influence on the film. And originally, Stripe and Gizmo were the same character.
Oh.
And Spielberg insisted that one of them had to be a good guy so that audiences could identify with a good guy and a bad guy.
Okay, yes.
And it was real important to him that Gizmo was the hero, because Billy was supposed to kill Stripe in the end. But it was real important to Steven Spielberg that Gizmo be the hero.
Oh, that's why he came out in that Barbie car?
Yeah.
Beep beeped at the dog?
Mm-hmm. Spielberg was impressed by the early short films of Tim Burton.
Yes.
And had considered him to direct.
Yes, I did read that.
But at the time, Tim Burton had never directed a feature-length film. Mm-hmm. So they got with Joe Dante, and Joe Dante directed this.
Okay, I can absolutely see this as a Tim Burton film, can't you?
Yes. And I think Pee-wee's Big Adventure came out in, I think, maybe 86. 85 or 86.
That sounds right, because Spielberg had seen Frankenweenie.
Yeah.
And that's why he wanted Tim Burton.
Yeah.
And Frankenweenie came out 2 or 3 years before Pee-wee.
I think so.
And that yeah. Oh, wow. But I can't. So often we say, oh, no, I can't see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
So very, both men are so very different, but I can absolutely see that they could be together.
Yeah.
Yep.
The scene in the department store where Stripe attacks Billy with the chainsaw was not in the script. It was added by Joe Dante and Zach Galligan as an homage to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny that it happens in a department store, because that's where Tobe Hooper got the idea for the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh my goodness.
Was in a department store hardware section. He was just like, I'm holiday shopping. There's 5 billion people around me. I have to push and shove my way out of here. What would make it easier for me to get the hell out of here? Big old chainsaw.
Goodness.
Howie Mandel was one of the voices for the Mogwai and the Gremlins.
Yes, yes.
Also one of the voices for the Mogwai and the Gremlins, Michael Winslow from Police Academy, the guy that made all the sounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And I had read in something, I hadn't written it down, that the humming was done by a little girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because they didn't think that Howie Mandel's hum was right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they picked a little girl to do it. I thought, oh my goodness.
Hoyt Axton is said to have improvised most of his lines while being kind of within the bounds of what was scripted. But he just kind of made his own lines.
Well, at that time, Hoyt Axton was a huge star.
Yeah.
Well, not at that time. That was at the end of his time. But he was huge. He was a big star.
Do you know that he was also a songwriter?
Yes.
And that his biggest hit that he wrote was Joy to the World, done by Three Dog Night?
No way.
Yeah.
I did not read anything about that. Oh my goodness.
I hate that song.
Okay.
That's one of my friend Deborah's favorite songs. And every time we do a compilation, an office compilation playlist, Joy to the World is always in it. And I hate it so much.
Well, now it gives you kind of new meaning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Corey Feldman was added to this movie after he was kind of cut out of E.T. Because Corey Feldman was originally cast in E.T. and then his parts were just kind of cut out.
Okay. And
so Steven Spielberg was like, oh, let's give this kid some screen time.
All right.
The original rough cut of the movie ran 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Holy cow.
Could you even imagine more hour of this movie?
No, because we were starting to lose patience.
Oh.
You were on your phone, and I felt like being on my phone. You know, I tried not to, but I did.
Yeah. The Mogwai were molded and inspired from the Japanese Chin dog breed.
Okay.
Judd Nelson and Emilio Estevez were originally considered for the role of Billy.
Oh, no. No.
No, this kid, they needed a fresh-faced kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this kid was definitely fresh-faced.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon, and Ralph Macchio all auditioned for the role of Billy.
My cat, Ralph Macchio?
My cat?
Auditioned?
Who's my cat?
My cat, Reginald Manchego.
Oh, yeah.
Also known as Ralph Macchio?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I can't see any of them either. Maybe Ralph Macchio.
Maybe Ralph Macchio, because he was still pretty young in the middle 80s.
And he really has a young face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tom Hanks later went on to work with Dante in The Burbs.
Yep. I can't see him doing. He's too goofy. His whole look is just goofy.
In 1984, Tom Hanks was too old because in 1987, he was playing a dad.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
So.
Well, you know, age has nothing to do with anything in Hollywood.
Well, I know that, but.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
We were just looking at a movie called Drop Dead Gorgeous. We were talking about it at work, and the two leads are Kirsten Dunst and Denise Richards. And Kirsten Dunst is the same age as me.
Yeah.
Denise Richards is 53 years old, and they played teenage girls around the same age in the same movie.
Oh my goodness. My goodness.
Yeah.
But see, yeah, that's really, you know, doesn't Denise Richards have a new reality show?
Oh, who the hell
out? And she looks rough, I think. But anyway.
She hitched her wagon to Charlie Sheen when Charlie Sheen was still wild.
Right.
And I'll never understand that.
Well, who knows?
It says that the human body count in this movie is 4.
Okay.
And that the gremlin body count was 5. But they blew up a whole theater full of gremlins.
Right.
So I don't know how it's only 5. Maybe it's only 5 that we see directly get killed.
Oh, okay. The microwave, the blender.
The fire.
Mom, cut that one head off and it rolled away. Or no, the boy cut the head off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then Stripe.
And then Stripe, yeah.
And then there must have been one more that we missed, but yeah, whatever. That's about all I got that we haven't talked about already.
Interesting. Well, I think this is a pretty interesting movie. I mean, for its time, I think it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think a class of second graders should be looking at this.
Mrs. Duckins was pissed.
Well, why didn't she turn it off?
I don't know. But the whole movie ran.
Or was she out of the room the whole time the movie was running?
I don't know,
running,
but she came back. When she turned the TV off, she was just like, we're never watching a movie brought in again.
Oh, some kid brought it in?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's funny. That's funny. Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear. Okay. If Mrs. Duckins is still around.
I can't even imagine.
No, she was old when you were in second grade, wasn't she? Did you say she was 50 plus? I don't know.
I know that Mrs. Tate, my third grade teacher, died. We went to her funeral, remember?
Yes.
She smelled like coffee and bacon. And she looked like Eartha Kitt.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah.
My gosh.
But she always smelled like coffee and bacon.
Maybe that's what she had every morning.
I don't know. That's what she smelled like all day.
And lunch and dinner. I don't know. Interesting. It's funny the things you remember from when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Why would you remember that?
Because it was weird. She smelled like coffee and bacon every day.
Yep. Yep. I had a teacher that she ate every time we'd go to the bathroom break or go outside, she'd go over by the incinerator and eat an orange. And then she'd come back into the room and eat a handful of Rolaids, thinking if your stomach's upset by an orange, why would you even eat it? But anyway, that's beside the point.
Well, ice cream makes me shit my pants, but I'm still going to eat it. I'm going to roll that dice every single time.
I guess. Yeah, because there's really no amount of ice cream, no small amount that I could eat that I wouldn't shit my pants either. So.
Right.
So why not eat the whole tub and shit your pants? It's worth it. It's worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah. A bowl, a spoonful. The entire carton?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
I am going to have a problem.
Yeah.
I ate half a brick of cheese the other day.
Oh, Lord.
Awful. Awful things happened.
Yeah, but didn't it taste good?
Oh, it was awesome. I went back and bought more cheese.
Okay. I probably would have laid off a little.
I told Justin that I had eaten it, and he was just like, oh, he's like, I wondered what happened to it. He's like, I was looking for it to eat it. And he's just like, oh, she must have thrown it away. I said, oh, no. I said, I saw that you had opened it, and I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to have a few pieces.
Yep.
You know, just a couple cheese and crackers, just to kind of, you know, top me off.
Yep.
And be done with it. No, man, that 2 or 3 cheese and crackers turned into the whole sleeve of crackers.
Yep.
And the entire brick of cheese.
I understand that because that's one of my favorite foods, cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And my stomach was mad at me.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
Worth it.
But your taste buds were happy.
My stomach was happy until it wasn't.
Yeah. That's true.
That brings us to our theme meal. There really wasn't a whole lot of food in this movie other than sandwiches.
sandwiches, orange juice.
But the boy gives the Mogwai some fried chicken.
Yep, whole plate of it.
In the evening. So, and then I had read somewhere about there being baked chicken and mashed potatoes. I didn't see any of that in the movie.
I did notice when he opened the refrigerator and we saw the chicken, there was a lot of food in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
So maybe some of that food was what they talked about.
So we had...
we had oven fried chicken.
We have oven fried chicken. Yeah. It's delicious.
Oh my goodness!
And
yes.
Mashed potato, homemade mashed potatoes, and corn.
And
it was delicious.
Man alive, was that the best meal I've had in a long time?
Yeah.
Yep. Who doesn't like that combination?
You know, oven fry is so good. It's not shake and bake. It's oven fry.
Oven fry.
It's so good.
And I know lots of stores have it because it's right up there on the top shelf with Shake and Bake.
Yeah.
And something called Fry something. It's in a yellow box. I can... Drake's?
Oh, that's a batter.
Fry?
That's batter mix.
Is that what that is?
Drake's is batter mix.
Okay. But it's always... I've seen it in many, many stores. Right there with all the rest of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oven fry. It's awesome.
Dang, they were delicious.
And you put a little, I dump it out on my plate that I'm going to bread the chicken on. And I put a little black pepper and I put some Old Bay and I just mix that up in the crumbs. And then I.
So you zhuzh up the box of fry mix.
Yeah.
Yum. And then you use the egg wash, right?
Egg wash.
Do you double dip them or do you just do one dip?
I just do one dip.
Okay. Boy, it was perfect.
Yeah.
And the chicken was cooked perfectly.
Yeah.
It wasn't dry at all.
No.
It was delicious.
It's you cook it at 400 for 20 minutes and it's perfect every time.
Yep. I agree with you. Because it was perfect. Absolutely perfect. All right. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a few deaths.
Yeah.
Michael Cole from the Mod Squad.
Yes.
84.
The last remaining member.
Yep. We had just talked about Peggy Lipton, earlier the... No, I guess it was last month that...
When Quincy Jones died.
Mark Winters? What is this?
I don't know. I sent you a couple and I don't remember what they were.
At 77, he was... Stranger Things, Magnum P.I.
Oh, yeah. That character actor that I don't... They made a big deal because he's been on Stranger Things recently.
Right. Died from pancreatic cancer.
Ugh. Mark Withers.
Withers. W-I-T. Yes.
Yeah.
Withers.
And then the last one of note was the amazing Kreskin.
I can't believe that.
Died at 89.
Only 89.
Yeah.
The amazing Kreskin has been an old man since the 60s for me. I'm serious. I have seen him on TV a million times.
Right.
And he's always been an old man.
That's Dr. Ruth. When Dr. Ruth died and she was only 96, how she wasn't 135, I'll never know.
Amazing. Amazing. But now, the amazing Kreskin. There'll never be a good reading ever again.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He was a funny dude. Wow. Yeah. Not too many. I mean, you know. But some important people have died recently.
Yeah.
Some really well-known. Oh, my. Yeah, I was bad. See, I didn't even look up dead people this time.
Yeah.
I'm just off my game completely.
It got cold real fast.
Yeah.
And with it being so cold, like, I don't want to be alive.
Right.
Like.
And it's hard to get the temperature in your house right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's real hot and sometimes it's real cold. And it's like, how do you even make this right?
And my house is wild. It's 72. It's freezing.
Yeah.
At 73, it's boiling.
Yep.
What the fuck is 1 degree difference going to make?
It's because we're not used to it yet. We haven't gotten into winter yet, so it doesn't stay cold. You know, I think today it's supposed to get up into the 50s.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, and yesterday was freezing.
Yeah.
It was bitey cold. There was wind.
Yeah.
I don't think it got much over 35 yesterday.
No, I don't think so.
And the rain came, and oh, it's just a mess here.
And I went to the grocery store this morning after I rolled out of bed, and the drive the whole way out to the grocery store, no problems, no ice, nothing. Grocery store parking lot, ice skating rink.
It's a free for all. Yep.
And this lady looked over at me. She said, "Oh, just be careful. It's real slick." And I said, "I know." I said, "How is that possible?" And she said, "I don't know.
It was the rain last night and it got down to 20 something." Yeah. Yeah, we can't get a break here.
No.
Although we are not getting the lake effect snow that Eastern Ohio is getting.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're missing the lake effect snow from Lake Michigan. It's going just above Detroit.
Oh, they can keep it.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have been golden. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
We've been golden. We're not getting the lake effect stuff. But holy cow, poor Eastern Ohio and New York are just getting whipped. Time after time. They've had feet of snow already.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I saw a commercial the other day of a jewelry store, and the jewelry stores around here often have a promotion like this. You know, if it rains on your wedding day, your jewelry is free. And,
right.
You know, and if it snows 4 inches on Christmas, you know, your jewelry bought between here and there is free.
Right.
And the time had elapsed by a few weeks, and I was just like, why are they showing this commercial? This is ridiculous.
I'm still seeing Thanksgiving commercials, so why can't we see last year's Christmas commercials? It's okay. It's all right.
But 4 inches of snow, no.
Right.
I got stuff to do on Christmas. I can't. 4 inches of snow?
Right. Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I haven't seen that. You know, well, I think that's the difference with the streaming TV. I just see the weirdest commercials on the streaming
TV. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I see local commercials, but not a lot. Like, you know, when you just watch Channel 11 or Channel 13, they just aren't the same. But yeah, no, I haven't seen that one yet. But yeah, that's a popular one.
Yeah.
If it snows 4 inches on Christmas Day, your jewelry's free. Furniture stores like to do that too for some reason.
Hmm.
If it snows on New Year's Day a certain amount, any furniture you've bought in the last 2 weeks is free.
Okay.
You know, here in Toledo, I mean, I'd do it. I'd do it if I was in Eastern Ohio. Here in Toledo, we live in this hole.
Yeah.
That stuff zips around us. You know, it just goes above us or below us.
We either get hammered or we don't.
Right.
It's there's no in between.
Right. Right. So we haven't been in a while.
No.
It's been about 4 years since we've had a lot of snow in the winter. So, yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Yeah. What else? What else going on?
It's Christmas time. Have you gotten your shopping done?
Oh, God, no. No.
I think we're about as done as we're going to get.
You girls were simple, but the boys I've just been struggling with. And I want to get them each one more thing. And I think I've got a line on Justin, but... You know, Aaron is a complete and total loss to me. I can't think of the perfect thing for him.
Hmm.
I've still got a few days. I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
I am not giving up. Although, you know, I told you this year I'm giving you like a family gift.
Yeah.
I saw something on the internet and I bought it. Yeah, I bought one for each family. So that will be a fun gift, I hope. Hopefully it'll come today. It's supposed to come today.
I've been watching more TikToks, and the stuff on TikTok shop looks so cool.
Gosh, doesn't it?
But like, I don't trust it.
Nope, me neither.
I don't trust it at all.
Nope, I completely agree with you. And honestly, this product that I saw was on a TikTok shop. But I did not buy it from there. I went on, it says it's now arriving on Thursday. I went on to Amazon and I found a very similar product for less money.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could look on Amazon if you see something on the TikTok store.
Yeah.
Because there has been some cool stuff on the TikTok store.
Yeah, and there's one that's like like a video game, like stick.
Yeah.
That's got retro games from different platforms.
That can't be good.
It's got like a little dongle that like you can sync your PlayStation remotes to.
Oh my god!
And you play the video. You plug it in your TV and you play the.
Oh, that can't be reasonable.
And, you know, I saw it for as low as $35 on TikTok shop, but all the comments were real negative, and I was just like,
yeah. I know, but how cool would that be?
And that would be something that Justin would love.
Yep. Absolutely.
To play it on the big TV.
Absolutely.
To play it on the TV in the game room.
Yep. Yep. But it can't be good. I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe did you look on Amazon?
No, I didn't even think to look on Amazon.
Is there something similar?
I'll have to go back to TikTok and see if I can find it on the TikTok shop.
Yeah.
And then look for it on Amazon because I don't even remember what it was called.
Right. Right. And if you put a real general description, it'll bring up
a billion
thousands of things. And then you have to look through them and then you'll go blind.
Yeah.
But no, I.
But like Justin and I this year were like, we're going to buy a cat tower or two and, you know, just get rid of some of the funky ones, some of the ones that are kind of wonky. And he's like, and we'll just get, you know, each other something, you know, little, just silly things. I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. We'll spend like, you know, $30 on each other. That's fine. I'm fine with that. And then he kept telling me, oh, I bought something. Don't look at Amazon.
Oh, geez.
Don't look at Amazon. Don't look at Amazon. So I'm scrambling.
Oh, no.
What do I buy this man?
Oh, Lord. Do you want me to bring over some of the stuff I bought him?
No, I'll show you what I ended up buying.
Oh, dear.
It's all on theme, and it's more of a project. And I told him it was a project, and he was just like, eh. And I was like, no, it's something you want to do.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah.
Cool. So. Cool. And he will like it.
Yeah.
In the end, he will like it.
Yeah, the things I bought from Etsy were cool as hell. I'll show you those.
Okay. But you did find a couple of cat towers?
We only got one. We ended up with one, and we haven't put it together yet. It's behind all the Christmas stuff right there. Lula has been just using it as a perch.
Yes.
She's been standing on it
and staring
at us.
I laid the sweater on it, so she stayed away from it.
Yeah.
I'll move the sweater onto the tote.
Our TikTok today, we had a gremlin in it, but it was really a critter, which the Critters was a movie that was made as a direct ripoff of Gremlins.
Yep.
So that's what we're holding in the...
But we were still careful not to get him wet.
And Mom was shielding him pretty hard from the bright light.
Right. My poor little baby gremlin. I mean, critter.
Whatever. Same thing.
I think so. They kind of look, the only difference is the ears.
Yeah.
The ears.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, I've never seen the Critters movies. We own them all.
Okay.
I've never, I can't say I've ever watched one.
Nope. And you found a Christmas tree topper that looked very much like butterscotch.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful tribute.
Yeah.
It is adorable.
We need to find an ornament for Jelly. We put Lula's baby dog in there that she didn't want. She wanted the big dog. So
yes.
The baby dog is in the tree.
Okay.
And we got the ornament that looks like Ashmo.
Oh, my goodness. It looks just like Ashmo. I'll start watching.
Yeah.
I'll start looking. Because he has a very distinctive face, but he's very much black cat face.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he looks like a Dr. Seuss cat.
Okay.
When you look at him real close.
Yes.
Like, he looks like a little Dr. Seuss cat.
Nice. But Blythe also has a little black cat. And they could be twins. I didn't notice it until I just recently had pictures of them together. Or I was looking at pictures of all the cats.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that they do look very much alike.
Really?
Yes.
Because I think Edgar has blue eyes.
I'm not talking about the eyes. I'm talking about the general look of them.
Their little faces?
Yes, their little faces are very... let me see if I can find those pictures and I'll show you. But I thought, oh no. Yep, here's this picture I have of Jellybean. Look at him.
Yeah, see, he looks like a Dr. Seuss cat.
Look at how pretty he is.
Yeah.
Now, let me find that picture I have of Edgar. And look at him. And you'll go, oh my God, I don't think I ever noticed.
Oh.
You've never noticed that, have you?
No.
Don't they look very similar face-wise?
They look
like twins.
Like black cats.
Yes.
He doesn't look so much like a Dr. Seuss cat.
Correct.
But
and his face is
shaped
differently. But when I was looking at them, I thought, holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. I do see it. And his eyes aren't blue. They're yellow.
Edgar's, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that's Edgar because I was sitting across the table from him and when I took this picture.
Yeah.
That's Blythe's arm. So I know this is Edgar.
Yeah.
And not a younger Jellybean.
It would be anybody but me because I don't wear tank tops.
That is true. That is true. But yeah, I was just, you know, I just noticed that a couple of months ago and I thought, oh my God, they look so much alike.
Yeah.
So, just a little side note, kitty cats look alike.
Yeah.
Go figure that a cat would look like a cat. Wow. Because I think that Reginald Manchego looks very similar to Ash.
He does, but Reginald Manchego is wearing a glorious fur coat.
Well, yes.
Reginald Manchego is long fur.
Yes. But look at this. Look at this boy. Look at him.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike. And look at the expression on his face. Ash is so pretty.
Yeah.
And he's just a beautiful cat.
He's a giant butthole.
Well, I think aren't they all? But look at Reginald Manchego.
A glorious cat. Look yep. how cute he is.
He is. I love him dearly. But yes, the only thing different about Reg and Ash are is the amount of hair.
Yeah.
And Reg has hair twice, three times as long as Ash does.
Oh, at least.
But they're both just, they do look rather similar. They could pass for cousins.
Yeah, definitely.
Not brothers like
Jelly and Edgar.
Right.
Yeah.
Weird, I know. And yes, I have 1,000 pictures of my cats on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you supposed to do with your camera?
Right. That joke that how many pictures of the cat do you need?
All
lots
of them?
More. Lots more.
All of them?
Yeah. And I never take one picture of any cat. I'll take 2 or 3.
Absolutely.
And then I'll edit them differently. And I love my cats. I love all my cats.
Yeah.
So your little ones are just as sweet as mine.
Yeah. And, you know, my cats love it when you come over because, you know, they never get.
No, I know.
Love. They never get.
I know they don't.
Rubbins.
You deprive them of cookies and love. Yeah. And just any little tiny bit of attention.
Uh-huh.
I know that. I know it. They've told me on the phone and told me.
I know that they have.
That I've seen on the internet, too. The dog sitting beside the phone and the phone ringing. I'm calling the vets. I'm calling grandma. I'm calling mom. But, yeah, I know that. And I'm sure Reginald Manchego does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, poor little thing. He's just wasting away. My poor little Reg has lost 2 pounds in the last year. And I don't know why. Neither does the doctor.
But he still eats. So I wouldn't worry about it. As long as he's still eating.
He's eating. He's peeing. He's pooping.
Yeah.
He's running around. He's as friendly as ever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that says there's something wrong with me, mommy. Take me to the doctor. Except he's just skin and bones. He's got 5 pounds of hair and not much of the rest of him.
2 pounds of skeleton?
Yes. And the rest is hair.
Yeah. Meanwhile, my horse is over here.
Yeah, but Reg was 13 pounds right up until just recently.
Hmm.
So, and when you think of some 13 pounds, to lose 2 pounds, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a significant amount of weight. But he's eating, he's peeing, he's pooing. I don't know. Poor things. Was that my phone? Sorry. Yeah.
Maybe he's just lithe.
He always has been. But why all of a sudden has he lost 2 pounds?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I know it's not because you're not feeding him.
No. No, he's getting second breakfast, second lunch, and second dinner every single day. He's up to 4 whole cans of food a day.
Wow.
He's never eaten that much. 2 cans of food and crunchers. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe it's a vitamin deficiency.
Well, I mean, he only eats that canned food. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's eaten enough of the lily plant in my kitchen that it's starting to affect him.
Oh.
Damn, cat. They're not supposed to eat any kind of lilies. And I have that peace lily in the kitchen that I have noticed recently that he has been eating on.
Uh-huh.
Darn, cat wants to eat that peace lily. Darn. He'd like to eat the mother-in-law tongue I have, but he can't get to it because it's straight up and down and he can't figure out how to get his head there. He can't turn it the right way. But I have caught him trying to eat the bamboo leaves, too. I have a little bamboo plant in the living room.
Yeah.
And I have noticed that he's trying to eat that, too. And that's not good for cats either. That type of, I can't think of what it's called. It's not bamboo, but it's, you know, looks just like it. They're not supposed to eat those either. Darn Reginald Manchego. Eating everything he's not supposed to.
Well, he's a turkey.
Yes, he is. Oh, God, we love our cats. We love, love, love our animals.
Yeah, and I'm just touching his nose like, stop it. Stop it. And he's just like, no. Absolutely not.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, well. All right. What else? What else going on?
Nothing.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah. The Shining is in our back pockets.
Yeah.
We're still waiting on a little bit of snow.
Right.
A little bit of accumulation.
Right.
From there, I don't have any idea of what we're doing next.
Okay. Well, we'll think of something.
Yeah.
Couple of weeks is coming up.
Yeah.
Hopefully I will have more ambition or I don't know what.
A little more drive.
I don't know.
We're on Facebook and Blue Sky. You can find us both there.
Mm-hmm.
Our
TikTok.
We have our TikTok. So go watch those. They're pretty goofy.
Yeah.
We're ridiculous.
They're real goofy. We have fun.
Yeah. It's just silly.
Yep.
And we have an email. I haven't said this in a while. If you want to reach out, it's movieswithmymother, all one word, at yahoo.com. And I guess Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy any kind of holiday. Yeah, they're all three coming right up, aren't they?
What else is happening right now? I don't know. There's so many.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, we want everyone to have a happy holiday.
Yeah.
Whatever you celebrate.
Whatever you celebrate.
Because celebration is life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Sure. All right. Until next time, we won't see you for Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Hanukkah starts on, I think, Christmas Day.
Yep. I believe that's correct.
I think Kwanzaa starts like the day after.
I think that's also correct.
So, you know, we'll see y'all after that.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.